Greetings in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here and worship with the saints here at Swatara. This past week, we took a little family trip and we went to Massachusetts, and we toured the place where the pilgrims, they have a little colony set up that you can tour. And in the colony, there was what they called a meeting house. And in the meeting house were little benches with no backs, and very hard, and with a little pulpit up front. And so we inquired a little bit about this meeting house, and it was their worship house on Sundays. Also, their town hall meetings took place there. But one of the things that stood out to me is they had 4 hours of worship on Sunday morning and 4 hours of worship Sunday afternoon. That's 8 hours in the day. And they went on to say how I said, so what did you do? They said, well, they sang songs, and they needed to sing in unison so nobody would get proud that they could sing with their different parts. So they had to sing in unison, and they also listened to the reading of the word and the preaching and prophesying. So they broke for lunch, and they came back, and they did the same thing in the afternoon. Then they went on to say that if somebody didn't show up, they obviously had to have legitimate reasons, but if they just got tired of it or didn't want to be there, if they didn't come to that worship service, they were put out of the colony. They were outside that colony, out in the woods, out in the open. They needed to be at that church service. And it was quite interesting. So then upstairs, they had the cannons to ward off, I guess, the Indians. And so as I meditated and thought about that, those people left their country in pursuit of freedom of worship. It was very, they told us that was what their goal was, and they had the Bibles in their houses open. I think they were King James versions, and they were endeavoring to worship God. And I'm going to let God make his judgments on their worship. But I do appreciate our worship services, and I don't plan to keep you for 4 hours. And I do appreciate the teachings that we have in our word, that we understand non-resistance and just this our life and what we practice, and it's such a wonderful blessing. So thinking about that and thinking about our revival meetings and thinking about what Brother Brendan shared about revival, and I like to bring a message in somewhat in preparation of revival, and it's hard to know what to preach on, but I message title this morning is Overcoming the Fear of Man. Because as I thought about revival and thought about allowing the Spirit of God work in our hearts and in my own heart, my own experience, and I think it's an experience of everybody's heart, and that is that the fear of man can cause us to draw back and not be honest with who we really are and the things that we struggle with in life. And just want to look at scriptures and go through this message. Want to look at how we can overcome the fear of man and how important it is. But the fear of man is very real. It talks about it in Proverbs. You can open the Bibles to Proverbs 29, verse 25. It says, and the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso put trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, there's all kinds of types of fears, but I particularly want to look at the fear of man and how, as we sit in our worship services, as we move about in society, even in our communities and in the opportunities that we have to let our light shine, and how the fear of man can obstruct our openness and hinder us. But here he talks about it's a snare. And usually a snare is open wide and it narrows down. I've seen some illustrations of snares, how they'll catch birds and so on. And usually it's a big net. And as that bird comes in and it triggers the trigger, and that snare comes together, it becomes small. And I think that's how it is in our life. If we're governed by the fear of man, our life becomes narrower and smaller and smaller. And he says it's a snare. The fear of man is a snare. It restricts, it holds us in. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe, protected, and so on. You go to Proverbs, the next one is Deuteronomy chapter 1, is another one that talks about the fear of man. This is Moses speaking about
He appointed judges to judge the matters that they faced in life and in living together and different issues that came up. And we remember Jethro, his father-in-law, saw how Moses was endeavoring to judge the people on his own. He said, you're not going to be able to live up to this pressure. You're going to wear out. And so they set up judges. And here we have in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16, and I charge your judges at that time, saying, hear the cause between your brethren and judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is within, that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man. For the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. So we have here the fact that the possibility of having the fear of man in judgment. He's telling them to remember that God has set the standards. As you make judgment, God has set the standards of right and wrong. And we need to allow the Spirit to work in our hearts and lives and allow it to bring judgment and not to fear the face of man, not to fear what man may think. And these people faced it back in those days, faced the fear of man, how man's going to respond to their judgment call. You go to 1 Samuel, another confession of King Saul. He said he feared the people. And I just want to, 1 Samuel 15, verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy works, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So here we have Saul, a king, a powerful man, called out to be king by God. And he says, I feared the people. I feared her and I listened to them. The fear of man in a real life illustration. Another scripture I want to look at, Isaiah 51. Verse 11. I want to read 11 through 17. It says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. And I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, or of the son of man which shall be made as grass? He just reminds us, why do you struggle with the fear of man? Why do you, man's going to pass away. Man is going to die. He's going to become as grass. And forgettest the Lord thy maker that stretches forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? And the captive exile hastened that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God that divideth the sea, whose waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. I will stop there. He's asking the question, why do you fear man? He has no strength. I'm the God that controls the sea, the oceans, the waves. You know, man cannot stop the ocean waves, the power and the energy. Can't control. When a storm rises up, it's in the hands of the Lord. And God's saying here, reminding Isaiah that I am God. Don't fear man. Don't fear what man can do or what he can say or do against you. Another scripture is John 7, another real-life story of people that feared man. It caused them to withdraw from Christ. John 7, verse 10 through 13. But when his brethren were gone up and went, he also up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, "He is a good man." Others say, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Fear of rejection, fear of man, again, hindered people from acknowledging who Christ was. And we see that often in the New Testament when in Christ's ministry. Just turning a few pages, John 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. Here we have a lot of rulers, a lot of people in leadership. It says they believed on Jesus Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, This problem that we see here is real native to our nature. It really is. We really struggle with this. We would rather seek approval from man than approval from God. And as I think of going into revivals, we need to really look at this squarely and look at it honestly, who we really are, and allow the Spirit of God to work in us and allow God to show us who we are. We all have needs. We all have struggles. And you know, there's a lot of different types of fears that can come into our hearts and cause us to withdraw from acknowledging Christ and living holy lives. Just being out and amongst people that worldly people, you know, people notice that we're different. People notice and they come and talk to us and talk, wonder who we are. Why are you practicing what you practice? And it's a testimony that we can let people know, but we can also kind of withdraw and feel uncomfortable. And what is that? Really, what is it? Is it the fear of man or is it the fear of God? Today we use terms like peer pressure. And you may not think, well, what's that have to do with the fear of man? Well, it really does. It's really intertwined in that peer pressure. We tend to conform to what our peers' standards are. We tend to forget about what God's standards are, and we want to conform to our peers. And we can be people-pleasing people, just, you know, our desires to please people, and we forget about God. And I think that's what King Saul did. He wanted to please his people. He heard their voice, and he wanted to seek their approval, and he failed in following the word of the Lord through Samuel. We have another one is self-esteem. We tend to think of ourselves higher and build ourselves up and to try and fit into special social groups or peer groups. And you know, when you really look at that, it's really generated from the fear of man, allowing man to control us and to shape us and who we really become. People would rather live with guilt than to have the real exposed. We tend to be that way. We rather live and carry the guilt than to expose who we really are. And as we go into this week of revivals, we need to lay that down and say, you know, I'm willing to be real. And I'll just use that illustration, and I'm not for prank calls at all, but there's one time this took place. There's five men received prank calls. And all they said on this prank call, they said, "They know what you did. Leave town immediately." And four of those people left town that evening. Four of those men. Five of them received calls, said, "They know what you did, leave town," and four of them left. Why did they leave? Because they were carrying guilt. They did something that they didn't want to be found out about. One of them apparently wasn't guilty. He didn't stay at home. It was a prank call. It wasn't for real. So we have this fear of man that can control us, and we're scared we're going to get ridiculed or mistreated. We draw back. And you know, and that's why it's so important that we have safe church life. It's important that we have safe home life, that people can be honest and not be ridiculed and pushed down and spoken evil of or gossip, spreading gossip about them, but that we can have a safe church life, safe home life, safe, that we can be real with who we are. Sometimes we fail, and we just need to be honest. But I think our atmosphere in church life and home life can contribute to people drawing back and holding back because they're scared they're going to be gossiped or spoken evil of. So this fear can show up in all ages and all in adults. It can show up in children and teenagers. This fear of what people think of us, fear of how people will respond. Being fearful to share convictions and values. I think that's probably where we as adults maybe struggle with more. Maybe we have some convictions and values, and maybe your convictions and your values are not very popular. Maybe you feel like you're alone, and you feel like you need to draw back. And really think about that's the fear of man. We need to be able to be out and sharing our convictions and our values. We struggle with this fear of man, of being honest with who we are, our needs and our weaknesses and our convictions and our values. Sometimes in the youth group, they face that peer pressure. That's a big one. And they feel like they need to perform to be in a certain group, or they face the pressure of having the latest fads or the latest hairstyles, the latest buzzwords or the latest music or technology. And you really look at that, it can be all driven by a fear of man, a desire to be accepted in a special in-group or special group of peers. And it's driven by that fear that we're going to suffer rejection, or we won't be liked, or we won't be invited, or we'll be lonely, or so on. And so I'm just naming some areas that we struggle with, and we want to get into it later, how to overcome that. Even with children, I remember raising a family and children growing up and going to school and just being overly sensitive with clothing. This is a weird shirt, or people won't like this, or I need new shoes. And dad would look at the shoes, and I'm like, nothing wrong with those shoes. Well, they're showing wear. Well, they will show wear. It's just normal. But, you really look at that, and that's that fear of wanting to be accepted. And if you have something that's a little bit different, and people will, make fun of me. And this fear of man is very native to our nature, and it starts with little children. I remember the importance of having the children. They didn't want to get late to school. They got to be there at 8:15 when the bell rings, because if they get there after 8:15, they're uncomfortable. Got to be there. And so just all those things. And for the sisters, maybe somebody stops in at your house unexpectedly, and suddenly you think, my house is messy. I got to clean up quick. So really, why? When we work and we get, I'm in the shop and I work and get a job into a skid loader, things get messy. It's all right. But that fear that we're worried that somebody's going to make a judgment, that does it really matter? Those are just native to us. And I'm not saying they're all wrong. I'm not saying it's all bad. You could go into that all aspect, but I just want to ask some questions. Number one, do I thrive on what others say about me? Maybe we can do a little bit of inventory and ask ourselves where we're at with this fear of man, or this overly concerned about what people think of us. Ask yourself this question: do I thrive on what others say about me? There's something like being out there fishing for compliments, just saying statements or saying things to try and help people say something good about yourself. Ask yourself if you do that. That will tell you a little bit to gauge where you're at in the subject I'm talking about. Another one is how do you feel when you get criticized? Am I crushed when I get criticized? When maybe somebody needs to make a just rebuke, and it's a right rebuke. I know some criticism can be out of place and can be wrong. But there is, we all need to be instructed and taught and given constructive criticism at times. And how do I feel? Does it wipe me out? Does it put me on the sofa for a half a day because I just can't deal with this? Ask yourself those questions. Do I have a love tank that can only be filled with people's approval and compliments? You know, in essence, we all have a love tank. I just use that term. We all have that desire to be loved, and desire to be appreciated and to be accepted. Now, if that love tank can only be filled with people, with compliments and with approval, it's going to shrink. You're going to become in a snare. You're going to get snared in because that's not what God's plan is. God's plan is that our love tank, so to speak, is filled with His love and His acceptance, and that we have His approval. I mean, really, I didn't look up that scripture, but what is it if man gives approval, but if God disapproves us? There's a scripture like that. We need to seek God's approval. So when we allow people to control us and to fill our love tank, God becomes small and people become big. And we become lonely and restrictive. So I have a point here. What do we fear about people? I just have a few points here just to bring it in perspective. Number one, that they can expose us and humiliate us. We don't want to be humiliated. And we don't want to be exposed. We don't want people to know the real us. And so we fear people, and we hold them at bay because we don't want them to know who we really are. We fear people because they can reject or ridicule us. Some of these points kind of tie together. Or despise us. King Saul made mention of that. He said, you know, I feared the people. I heard their voice and I feared them. And he obeyed their voice. Leaders can face that. I can face that. I can face this struggle with not preaching the word and the convictions that we have for fear of man. That some people may not like it. I'm just being real. Every preacher faces that. If a preacher is going to preach the word of God, he's going to have to realize that there's times that people will be uncomfortable with his preaching. And that's not an easy thing, because I would like for people to be comfortable. But the fear of man, and that's what Saul failed in. But if you read in the scriptures, Apostle Paul and all the apostles, all the teachers of the word of God, they faced obstruction. They faced resistance. People did not like everything that they preached and said. And I'm not saying I feel that way this morning, and I feel that way in my preaching. But I face that as a temptation to allow to be careful, because I realize that next somebody will be offended or not like what I have to say. But we need to overcome that and have the foundation in the Word of God. You know, King Saul sought the favor of man. He lost the favor of God. And in time, he lost the favor of man. If we allow the fear of God, the fear of man to control us and to shape us, eventually, if we're a people-pleasing people, eventually we will not even please the people. People that love God and have a godly fear in their life will find favor with God and man. Another one I have here is, and we don't face a lot of this pressure, but we can fear people because they can attack or oppress us or threaten us. And I don't think we face a lot of that, but yet I think it's around the corner. You think of it in Bangladesh, the people that are Christians, and they face that. They realize that if they're bold and speak the word, they could get their life taken from them. We have this situation with Timo Miller in prison in is it Nicaragua, I think, and We have Ken Miller in prison here in the States, and actually, I just got an email. Ken Miller just had to go before the court on Friday, and they wanted him to testify against some other people that may have been involved in that Lisa Miller case, and he would not testify. And so he's going to be facing, he probably could face more charges because he would not speak against other people and testify of other people. And so it said at one point he choked up because he's there trying to respect the courts, but he's also wanting to be true to his conscience and his beliefs. This is happening in America right now. We may face that we'll be threatened. You know, it was very obvious to us as we were in Massachusetts. I'm not sure how many gay couples we saw, at least three, very obvious. Seems like it's more pronounced there. Now, I had to ask myself the question, you know, I think we're going to face some pressure when we stand for truth and what is right. And so we have this question. We can fear people because they can attack us or oppress us or they can put us in prison for standing for what is right and for truth. So how do we overcome this fear? It's very native to us. Something that we all deal with. And it's very simple, but it's not very easy. And that is to have a healthy fear of the Lord. Hebrews 12. Just a godly fear. A fear that helps us to overcome the fear of man. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. You know, God is not mocked this morning. If we're controlled by the God for this fear, this all-consuming fear of man, God is not mocked. We must serve God with a reverential fear, a godly fear, for God is a consuming fire. I just want to look at a couple of verses in Proverbs. You don't need to turn there. But Proverbs 14 is a verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. We have this fear of God as our strength, our safety, our security. There's confidence, and there's refuge there. In verse 27, and the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. There's a purpose of life. You know, if you're here this morning, you're controlled by the fear of man. You're struggling with purpose. You're not sure where you're at in life because your friends are going to let you down. They'll change friends because they're seeking approval with man. And so the true fear or the true purpose in life comes with the fear of the Lord as a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. There's joy in serving God. There's strength and to avoid the snares of Satan. Psalm 31. Verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. So this godly fear needs to take place as we live on this earth. And I just appreciate the Sunday school lesson and looking about heaven and the new things. And that's what God has reserved for us. As we have a godly fear, we depart from evil and the snares of evil. God is reserving a place for us. And there's something good reserved for us. Well, the fear of God is just, you know, you may wonder what is the fear of God? Well, it's a continual awareness that I'm in the presence of a holy, just, and almighty God. And that every thought and every word and every deed is open before him and being judged by him. God knows every one of us. God knows if we're living for him, if we have a godly fear. And it's so important that we have this godly fear in order to overcome this this fear of man. God is a just God. He's a holy God. He's a pure, he's an all-powerful God. And he's also a God of loving kindness and of grace and mercy. And we need those, that balance in our life to realize that, you know, there's a lot of people today, they probably err on the fact that God is loving. And they can hardly imagine that God would put mankind in hell. You can hardly imagine that God would judge mankind in such a way. But they fail to remember that God is a just God. Their sin is not going to enter heaven. It makes it clear. We cannot live in sin and in the fear of man and be able to bring glory to God and be able to have our names written in the book of life. We have to overcome this fear of man and have the fear of God. We have example after, in the Word of God, where people feared man, and the end result was a departure from God unless they repented and got right with God and had a godly fear. That's what kept them in God's loving kindness and his grace. Well, so it's important that we have this balance of God's holiness and his justice and his power and loving kindness, his grace and mercy. And we have that balance. We realize that we're not perfect. There's times that we're going to fail. And it's by God's loving kindness and his grace and mercy that we can be the children of the King. But we cannot make room for self-indulgence and presume on the grace of God and his loving kindness and think everything's going to work out all right. So the godly fear is what helps us overcome the fear of man. Number two, trust in the Lord. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, talks about trust in God. Blessed is a man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in it, hope, and whose hope the Lord is. And he says, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Talking about the one that trusts in God, who hopes in the Lord. And simply, trust it is a very large subject, but I just want to narrow it down. Trusting in God is when we're willing to trust him with the outcome of our obedience. We have it illustrated with the three Hebrew children. They trusted God with the outcome of their obedience. They said, listen, we are not going to bow. We don't know if God's going to save us or not, but one thing we do know, we're going to obey our King, our Lord. And they trusted the outcome of their obedience in the heart of in God's hands. Abraham did the same. When he left his hometown, his home community, he trusted his future in the hands of the Almighty God. We don't face a lot of that. But thinking about, you know, that Timo Miller and Ken Miller and that whole case, as they stand for truth, they need to trust the outcome in God's hands. And you know what? It may be different than what we would like it to be. But trust says that's all right. And when we do that, we receive strength. He talks about this tree. He says it's a tree that's planted by the waters and it spreads its roots out. And you know, that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, when there's a drought, like we experienced in Jonestown this year, it stays green. Because it's stable and it's beside the water. So this tree is a tree of strength, of stability, endurance through hardship, and it yields fruit. So I want you to ask your questions. Do we have spiritual strength this morning? Are we connected with this river? Or are we trying to hold on by our own strength? Another question. This tree has stability. When the pressure is to compromise and to bend or to give in, are we stable and are we consistent? And do we hold on to truth? It talks about this tree. It's by the and it spreadeth out her roots. And that's what gives that tree stability, gives it strength. It's stable when it faces the pressures, the winds of the storms. Another question I have through hardships and difficulties, disappointments, when people misunderstand us, maybe we're hurt. Can we still endure? Can we endure hardness as a soldier of Christ? And that's what this tree he talks about in the drought, in the times there was no rain. It still produced fruit. So what is the fruit of our life? Ask yourself the question. What is the fruits of my life? Do we have peaceful relationships? Or is our life a refreshing dew that falls on others? This tree that we're talking about here in Jeremiah was a tree that bore fruit. It was a blessing to others. And when we trust God, that's what we can be. Trusting God is a choice. It's not a feeling. There's times in life that we can feel overwhelmed with the pressures and the disappointments. Things that happen that we didn't plan on. Some extreme things can happen in life that we just feel overwhelmed. So I want to help you understand that this trust is not a feeling. It's a choice. We have to choose at times to trust God when there is no feelings at all, that things are going to turn out well. But with God, we trust Him. We trust Him with the outcome of our obedience. Times that we need to make that choice to kneel at the altar and surrender and let the outcome to God. There's great peace and soul rest when we do that. Our reputation needs to be in the altar. You know, thinking of fear of man and fear of God, and how the fear of man can cause us to withdraw and to choose rather to live with guilt than to be exposed. I think it all comes in here. Our reputation needs to be in the altar. And reputation is a big word, but it's simply what it means is what people think of us. And we sometimes we're so concerned about what people think of us. We're all human, and there's times that we struggle with that. And that can overcome us at times. But when we have our reputation on the altar, it clears the way for us to develop godly character. You know, when we give that up, we give our reputation up, and we say, okay, God, I'll follow you at any cost. I'll acknowledge whatever I need to acknowledge. I'll be real. I will confess. I'll do whatever it takes. Then God has a person that He can develop Christian character. A person that He can help grow up and become more like Christ. Character is more important than reputation. It really is. But it's amazing how a person with good character usually has a good reputation, but not always. Depends what all is in focus. But character, Christ-like character, is more important than reputation or what people may think of us. Number three, how do we overcome the fear of man? Love the Lord. Just loving God with all our heart. You know, that familiar scripture, Matthew 22, it's foundational to our Christian experience. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, you could say on these two foundational commandments hangs the whole Christian life. Well, as we build our life off of loving God with all our hearts and then loving people and caring about the needs of others, it just is foundational to our Christian experience. You know, it's so important that we consider God before we make choices in life. Sometimes we think it just needs to be common sense. But I just want to remind us that common sense isn't necessarily comes from God. It can. But we need to take God, before we make choices in life, we need to take God's perspective, the teachings of the Word, the work of the Holy Spirit, and love the Lord with all our hearts, with all our strength, our minds, and our heart, and just give ourselves to serving Him. In closing, we need to value what God values. You know, if you look around us, there's a lot of values that man has. A lot of things that they deem as very important. And to the Christian, we need to value the things that God values. And the Bible is full of those things. And these things that I'm going to share here, I'm just going to name a list of them, of God's values, is directly connected to how we overcome the fear of man. Number one is we need to value purity above anything else, above what the world offers. We need to value love for mankind. God loves people. God created mankind. And that affects how we gossip about people, how we talk about people. God loves people, and that can be, and like I said earlier, the atmosphere that we have in church can really affect people being honest and real with who they really are. If they feel like they're going to be gossiped about, or they're going to be spoken evil of, and they're going to be rejected and pushed aside out of the youth group or whatever, they hunker down. Just remember, God loves people. God is for us. He desires that all mankind would be saved. He would desire that if there's anybody here this morning with guilt, God would desire that you would have that guilt removed. And God's people must desire that at any cost. God loves healthy relationships. God loves giving. God loves separation. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. God loves humility. He talks about people that lift themselves up. He says, I'm going to bring them down. He says, those that want to be lifted up in my kingdom need to be humble. And God loves worship and praise, just to praise him and worship him. And God loves godly character, people that respond properly to life. Godly character. The fear of man can stand in the way of us getting right with God. Developing godly character, healthy relationships, prepare us for Christ's return. I just want to read the last verses, a few verses here in Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. In closing, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he that has said, I will never leave ye nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God bless you. I look forward to this week of revivals, preaching of the word. I want to open my heart to the Spirit to work in my heart, make me better fit for his kingdom and his service.